get it afterwards.
Yeah. Log Talk Radio.
All right. Again.
All right.
What's the date today? The 10th. The
10th. The
10th.
January.
This pretty soon, I'm about the way we have spring training, or close to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Think
Lakeland,
baseball, folks.
Right?
Yeah, let me get Jimmy on. Jimmy's itching to get on here. Jimmy?
I heard you, brother. I heard you. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Jimmy. How you doing?
Oh, good, man. Just sitting back watching the show.
Yeah, yeah. It's a show going on, that's for sure. I tell you. But, you know, I mean, I guess, well, hell, what better way to open the show? As many people who are posting about whether you agree or disagree what's going on political right now, as many people who are coming out of the woodwork on the union pages saying this, where in the hell was y'all at while you'd be getting stolen? Been getting stolen from your international executive board members. And you don't want to say nothing with a mouthful when that shit goes down. But when this is happening, you're all over it. Really? Wow. Just my thought. That's just my thought. So.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Anyway.
UAW's, you know, cover-up over the COVID outbreaks. And yet they try and make it happy news that they made, what was it, 1,000 Ford and GM employees? Full-time temporary workers. Full-time temp. Boy, that's a great thing, ain't it?
They're actually in progression workers. I talked to one.
I know, but now they got the 8-year clock, so if they get sick or they get their time broke, they get the reset, you know. I guess it's better than nothing, but what I'm trying to say here is we're a union. Why are we allowing all these tears which are providing us? As they said it, Abe said, and you can check the book because I know Abe said it, a divided house can't stand. We just saw it, people.
Oh, no.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're
maybe.
Right. And the part-time temporaries have been called back on their hours, so they're not going to make them into the full-time temporary slot anytime soon right now.
That's what I'm saying.
I did find that out.
It's all a smokescreen, but what's it do? It keeps us on the work floor bickering and fighting amongst ourselves because we have what? Pay gender differences. We have benefit differences. We have health care differences. We even have some that get pensions, and many now do not. And that is a damn shame for any union to buy into it the way my union has bought into it. And y'all blame you. I keep hearing the retirees did that. We voted this. Excuse me. I voted against every contract that's ever been put in front of me, and I'll stand for that record.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Yeah, it's not the retirees. In fact, the retirees don't get to vote on the national contract, folks. They don't.
Yeah, we get the vote on anything. They're afraid to vote. There's too many of us. We even get the vote for our president, sounds like.
Yeah, that's wrong, too. Being disenfranchised, I think, is the correct word we're looking for there. Disenfranchised. So, anyway. Yeah.
Right about this time, hear my sister Adrienne chime in with some damn good comforting secure thoughts because, man, I got a bad taste in my mouth right now as a retiree and everybody's saying, but they don't want us down there because half of them are going to support them. The other half, we got tons of free time. We're going to go down there and give them out. And that's where I'd be.
Adrienne, you're on.
Good evening, everyone.
Jimmy, all he has to do is ask, and she shall
return. Yeah, well, you know. Boy, these people are so full of it.
Thank you, sister.
It's just so sad, and it's sad with some of our newer members. I'm going to start calling them newer members because I made that post so that I could get the thoughts where people were coming from. And I tagged all those people because I knew that I would get information. And I had been saying that, you know, I'm a little tired. And I really get tired when I see someone saying, you're retired, go sit on the couch.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, and Don, I'll just say, I'm not going to be real nasty, but I'm going to say, you MFs, you don't want us to sit on the couch. But be careful what you ask for.
What did I do now?
Not you.
I've been sleeping all day.
No,
I don't.
Jimmy know what I'm talking about. Scott, if he's been reading those comments under what I posted about the retirees, it's like,
Adrian,
oh, y'all some beautiful people.
Adrian, he got all excited when he heard sleeping and couch in the same sentence.
Yeah, that's right. And I was sleeping.
No, no. We ain't got to sleep on no damn couch. We can go to bed.
Amazing. Then I'm going to have to wake me up.
Wait, it's like,
hey, you
oh,
got to sleep.
You don't need our help? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I need everybody's help. What the hell are you talking about? I didn't know.
And that's the way, you know, it's like, where is your thinking? You know, you're a temp. You're a tier. You don't get the benefits that you should be getting. You don't have the classifications went away, and you want to blame it all on the retirees. How foolish of you. The retirees do not negotiate contracts. The only thing that that even when we were working as active members, we would read over those contracts. I, like you or all of you that are retirees, I very seldom voted yes. I always voted no. But one of the things that these newbies don't know, the contracts always won 51-49. Now, you got to know there's something wrong there.
You're here. Here,
and
here.
This last contract, what was it, 56-47-43? They knew they had to change them numbers.
Yep.
Yep.
I got another one for you, Scott. Think about this one. They blame us all the time. I wish Teresa Dodge was still with us because she had a thing going on her computer. I gave it to Dick once. All the things they had taken away from the retirees starting in 1980, was it two when we opened up the agreement, or 81? Might have been 81.
Mm-hmm.
But every contract they took away from the retirees. So don't blame that shit on the retiree. Blame it on our negotiators sitting at that damn table.
That's right. And then they come back and sell you a bill of goods, which half the time they lie to you about the highlights. If you don't take the highlights and compare them to the rough draft, you'll see where they lied to you. But no, we're getting an $11,000 signing bonus. Oh, we got to have that money. Well, I'm going to vote yes.
We found out why we got that money. They left.
Right.
Draft numbers with no writing but the open number. Now they're getting filled in, aren't they, Scott?
Yep.
And then half of them don't even get the full amount.
You know, had the retirees been able to vote on these NASA contracts, they would not have passed at all.
Mm-mm.
At all.
Yeah,
Well, and furthermore, I mean, I love my union brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever tier you're at, I do.
Right.
I care for the lower people.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't be allowed to vote on portions of our contracts that are not going to affect you. These contracts would not have passed had the temps not been allowed to vote on a contract.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my personal thought. I don't think there would have been enough because at Chrysler, they're more than half the workforce.
Wow.
Right? So, you know, the numbers are getting... Ford was the one that streamlined them the best. They actually stayed pretty close to staying. It was 25%, if I remember right.
Right.
And when they went over, they made
mm-hmm.
those people that went over, they made them seniority employees to get back to the 25%.
Yes.
You know, this new contract, it's wide open, pedal to the metal for everybody. So.
That's right.
You know, I'm hearing. I don't know about you at Ford, and I don't know about Chrysler, but I'm hearing buyout rumors again already on the floor.
She wants
oh,
that.
Oh yeah.
Couple reasons. One, to get rid of your ass, you can bring three people in. Pay your pay scale. Also, think about this. There's another picture there. Your health care. They don't have to get health care no more. So that's going
right.
to be there, really. Okay, two, think about this. She's bitching right now that their sales, auto sales, are down. Think about this. What was it, Wednesday last week?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, auto sales are going to be down when you quit making cars, and you also said you didn't give a shit about market share.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't care about market share and you build in a, let's say, a luxury line of vehicles, you're going to lose market share for sure because you're getting rid of certain models that you were selling that you're no longer supplying. I mean, I really think if the fuel prices go up, we all know what happens to truck sales when gas and fuel prices go up. Soar.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm. Well, hopefully tonight there's going to be somebody that's going to be calling us. He's a retiree, and he's got something to tell us about from an individual he knows over at Lansing. Well, we'll see if they I want to work on it. You guys keep talking for a second, if you would. Adrian, fill him in.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We've done so much trying to educate and inform. And it seems like we're not making any headway. We're not doing anything outside of what we are supposed to do for our union brothers and sisters. We are not speaking against any caucus. We're trying to educate you. And it's not working for whatever the reason. It's not working. And if you feel entitled, you ought to step back because you ain't fault. You got to fight. You're not entitled to a damn thing. Either you got to stand up and fight for yourself. You're just going to be left out there because, see, when you say things like you say to retirees, we don't have to do shit for you. We got ours. You remember that old saying, I got mine, you got to get yours? I sure always hated that.
So
yep.
did I.
I've never liked that because my job was always, yeah, I got mine, but I got to help you to get yours. That was my thing.
Right.
But when you
right.
say little hateful things,
the worst one, Adrian, because that one sort of took the place. I got to make it better than I found it because that's what it was when
exactly.
I grew up. I wanted better than when I found it. Then they came up with that bullshit. You just said, man, I hated that.
Ooh, I hate that little thing there. But, yes, I am supposed to leave it better than what I found it. That
right.
is all. Each individual, whether you're a union or whatever, wherever you are, you're always supposed to leave it better than you found it.
Yeah,
but
they don't. Do they use anvils anymore, Scott, in your plant?
Do they
in
what?
My plant kept putting out anvils. They started, I don't know, how would you say it, retaliating against that person. Hell, it's hard to put a handbill out except for the election time anymore. But we used to drop them during the time. He had a committee names for an option. You know? I mean, what the hell? Well, back in our days when I started, he didn't do it right the second time. You had some bitch to stand up in the parking lot, but you can't do that now.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me
you
get
the. We got union corrupts.
517, I'm going to get you on. You're on?
Yeah.
517.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, there you go. How you doing?
Hi, this is Dwayne.
Hey, Dwayne.
Hello. Oh, hi, Dwayne.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I talked to Scott earlier via text message the other day. So I just retired from GM here last year. But my issue now is with... I got an issue with my daughter. She got terminated from GM because of COVID. So I'm trying my best to, you know, contact any and everybody, you know, to get her back on the job here.
Explain that if you can. How did she get terminated because of COVID?
Well, I guess I don't have all the intimate
okay.
details.
Okay.
But apparently, you know, she went to work and, you know, told them she was going to get tested.
Okay.
When she got tested. Her test results came back, and then she went into quarantine for the minimum of 14 days.
Okay.
So after the 14 days came back, you know, she came back to work.
Okay.
They let her work 3 weeks or whatever. Then they called her in the office here last week and told her that she was fired because of health and safety concerns. If that was the case, they would have fired her the day she came back from quarantine instead of letting her work, you know, about 2 to 3 weeks. So.
Without you giving any dates, okay? I want to know how much time does she have in months and years?
She has pretty close to 10 years.
Did you say 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. From my understanding, she's the first person in GM in this area to get fired because of that. So my daughter didn't go to work intentionally trying to infect people with COVID.
Right.
Bypassed all the steps, you know. Usually, you get they put her on notice, from what I understanding. But you're supposed to get a written warning, so they just bypassed all the steps and just went on and just said, "Okay, you're fired."
If you get put on notice, it doesn't last for 3 weeks.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well.
Not at all.
It could be a little bit shorter, but I know at least she worked at least 2 weeks. So
they try to write a grievance.
They wrote a grievance, but a grievance could sit on the table for 4 years.
Oh yeah.
So you know.
Yeah.
You just can't just sit by. It's just because they wrote agreements, that don't mean nothing's going to get settled. She could be out of a job.
Oh, yeah, it does. No. Now, this is what I'm going to say to you, okay, and don't take it. I don't mean any harm. I need you to take the emotion out right now so that we can look at this. The reason that I asked you if she wrote a grievance. You see, there are other places to go.
I'm working on that for too.
We got the NLRB. We got the EEOC. We've got OSHA. All of those people need to be contacted.
OSHA.
Mm-hmm.
I contacted them already.
Okay.
And I contacted our local state representative.
Okay.
And they're working on it. And who was the other people? Is that the...
You know where the grievances and the procedures. This
there
is
you
key
go.
Here. Do not mm-hmm. know where... Say you don't know. But before you can do jack shit, really, you got to get that grievance out of the plant into the regional. Now, you're talking to a dickhead that took 9 years to get his job back because they held my grievance in the plant at the stuff and a half. They wouldn't send it up.
Yeah, well, I'm not going
to. So I'm just trying to tell you, listen to what Adrian is talking about. But keep that grievance number, all that shit, and if they don't move it up, you go to the NLRB and you demand your day in court now, not in 5 years, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what's that, the National Labor Relations Board?
Correct.
Yep. Go to there or the EEOC.
And okay. And when you're filing with the NLRB, because right now she could possibly go to the EEOC before going to the NLRB.
Can Adrian go there first?
I think I would. I think you can.
And I would think you could also go to the Department of Labor.
What's the EEOC?
Equal Employment Opportunity.
Okay.
And so I do feel that she's probably being discriminated against.
Yes, yes, because the lady who came to work with COVID, I believe that's who she contacted with, she's still working.
Mm-hmm.
What they do here, play your card right. When she writes that letter to either one, you can put down there that she's union, but you address it to you to them. And then if they contact the union back, you got them for collusion. That's where I burn them, whatever you want to call it. Because you're going to get information, you're not going through your union. So if they turn around and go back to the union and come back at you or send the union, I would ask the union, how did you find out about this, and get it from them in writing that management contacted them about this issue. Now you got your proof all you need, brother. Still have her job back and a little bit of money.
Yeah, because we're not, I'm not going to sit back and just idle and just totally let the union handle it.
No,
Because they're just, like I said, they're going to just sit down and just say, okay, we write a grievance. And then when she had representation, she had representation through the vice president of the union.
Mm.
He's not supposed to be in the grievance procedure. What the hell is he doing in the grievance procedure? No.
Well, this is what she told me. She said the vice president was in the...
He's not the person into the grievance procedure. There's a violation right there.
Well, he... From what my daughter told me is that when she came into the room... The vice president was there, and the only thing the vice president asked her, what was her name, and he, sis would say he didn't know her name because they was already in there discussing what happened.
Here, I'm going to ask you one more question.
Vice President, my friend, where's the committee man? Where's the chairman? Where's the scout man?
Wait a minute now. Hold on, Jimmy.
Hang on.
Now, if your vice chairman is a bargaining committee man, because that's who has to be there, is a bargaining committee man.
Nope. She told me it was the vice president.
Yeah,
vice
but
president.
Is he also a bargaining committee person?
No, we're different.
Oh,
that
you
I
all
cannot
different.
Tell you.
Yep.
Because that would be the only
facility.
Way that he could be there.
Well, apparently all the other reps.
One at a time, guys.
Apparently all the other reps wasn't there. Wasn't
okay.
Available.
Let me get 260 on. Maybe they can some light on. 260, you're on.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Yeah, this is Jim Bob Jones, the 18th, from Local 1. I just listened. I was a little curious. The gentleman there that his daughter got fired.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of
they're static on the line.
On my end.
I'm
muting.
Okay, Adrian's going to mute. Go ahead, 260.
Okay, the gentleman there, your daughter said they got terminated from General Motors. And then you said about a vice president being there. Are you sure it's General Motors as in Unit 1, or is it Amalgamated, another unit that works for General Motors?
No, this is General Motors.
Okay. Yeah, that vice president, well, they have a right to be there if they're I don't have my contract in front of me. If they are actually there doing president's duties, they could be at a second step meeting. But
yeah,
they really,
well,
other than that, they have no right to be there whatsoever. But they have a right to be present.
Right. Well, they could be present, but he didn't. I think all he did was ask what her name was. And to me, which is a bunch of crap, because he knew what her name was.
Okay.
This guy, from my understanding, he just got elected, and he don't know what's going on. So right then and there, she had bogus representation.
Let me ask you this. Is there a possibility, because I don't know any details, I don't even know what plan it's from, is there a possibility that there was an alternative motive, whereas she's on the like this show, a rebel rousal for some reason, she upsets people, or if there was a personal attachment to the union or the company where they attacked her? Is that a possibility?
Well, it's a possibility. From what I understand, that management didn't like her.
Because she
spoke out
or something?
That could be, but, you know, still that's no reason to fire somebody or somebody not intentionally doing something. There no Doc 8s or anything.
I'm not justifying that. I'm just asking that question for a reason, because that's a status quo environment in a UAW General Motor relationship, where if you go against the grain to the wrong people, the wrong party, they come up to some circumstance to justify terminating you. That's all. That's the only reason I was asking. I'm not justifying it.
Right. From what I could understand, she said management didn't like her. Now, she didn't say anything about the union didn't like her. All she said was management didn't like her.
Yeah, well, anymore, they're both on the same page. So if they don't like you, they probably both don't.
That's right.
Yeah, because
my advice to you is listen to these people. They're leading you down the right road, but I just wanted to ask that question. I was just very curious. Was there a possibility? Was there an alternative motive?
Yeah.
Because from what you said, I don't see that sticking at all.
Correct.
Well, I agree, especially with somebody who's never really been written up maybe once, but always coming to work, no Doc 8. Good attendance record, you know. So, like I say, you know, she's young, and, you know, I put in 43-plus years at GM, just retired last year, so I know all the games they be playing.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm not going to just sit by and idle and just say, oh, we wrote a grievance, and basically all they said was, we're on it. So, yeah, well, I'm going to be on it, too, using all the resources that I can.
There you go.
We're
well,
not gonna
my advice, my, yeah. My advice is listen to these people. They're leading you down the right road, but the bottom line is there's a left side of the story, a right side of the story, and there's the truth of the story. And,
correct.
It sounds to me like there are certainly some things not correct with that, and that's why I had to ask that question. I believe there was probably an alternative motive involved in that.
Yeah, I agree. I think, eventually it will come out, hopefully, you know. Hey, might have to get an attorney on this too, you know. But we're just not going to stand by idle with my, you know, just sit down and just wait for one organization to say, okay, we're on it, and we wrote a grievance. And
Does she have a copy of the grievance?
I don't know. I'm going to ask her that.
She needs to get a copy of the grievance along with the grievance number. The grievance number has to be on it.
Right.
Now, there are laws to protect you for COVID.
Yeah, we'll be looking into that.
And that is why I said EEOC. Equal Employment Opportunity.
Well, even beyond that, I was going to say, the EEOC should protect you with disabilities, and the COVID is, let's face it, it's a natural disability.
Yeah.
Another avenue for that, and we have language in that in General Motors, is the American Disability Act. While you're infected with COVID, technically, you're disabled.
That is correct.
And if you're following the rules and you come back there under the rules that you're supposed to, I can't see how they claim there's a violation there. That's their responsibility from that point to say, are you able to return to work or not? If they let you return to work and you clear medical in the GM system, that's on them.
But the way it's after she came back to work, it does.
I know.
Makes sense.
Yeah. That's why I say that.
She came back to work. You know, why would you let? She told me she worked, I believe, 3 weeks and pulled her in the office either Wednesday or Thursday and terminated her because of health and safety reasons, is what she told me.
Wow.
I got a question to ask. You said she went to work on the day and she informed them that she had to be tested. What do you mean by that? She went to work at the start of the show?
She went to work and told them, from what my understanding is, that she went to work, told them that she got tested for COVID. Once the results came back, she didn't go back. She stayed out quarantined for 14 days. She came back. Okay, after her quarantine was up, 14 days.
Now, when those results came, was she infected?
Yeah, she was infected.
She did everything right. I don't get this.
And then she came, you know, like I said, I'm assuming she reported back to medical. And then I guess they did their investigation. This is everything to my knowledge. It could be something that, maybe I don't have all the intimate details, but from what I'm going by, what she told me, you know, when she came back, if that was the case, that day she came back, she should have been fired that day. Not work, sit out for the holiday shutdown, and then come back and work.
Well,
she should have been fired that first day she came back.
Did she contact General Motors with her results at all? You know, like you got to call.
I'm assuming that once she went back, she might have told them then.
Yeah.
But that part I'm not for sure on.
Okay.
She's gonna need to save.
It still
yeah,
doesn't
she's gonna need to
make
save
3 weeks.
Well,
yeah. Either way, with the HIPAA law, you don't really have to say anything.
I don't want to interrupt,
but
I'm. I would like to get to the foundation of the discharge itself. Did they claim that she didn't inform them that she was infected during that period, so she missed that period of time, and that she, from that period of time, was absent from work all that time? Is that what it was? Or was it you came back, you were infected, even though you were, you know, you quarantined 14? What basically was a Doc 8 attendance that they claimed that?
For sure on. All I know is she said they terminated because of health and safety protocol. I guess that was violated.
That wouldn't be dock hate. That's why I was asking you that to clarify, because you said that, you know, with what you said, maybe there's a possibility there was some miscommunication in there and she should have been covered and they didn't cover her for the time off. That's why I asked that. Health and safety is different.
That could have been
under
true, too.
Under the dock hate, the protocol would have been, if that was the case, after 3 days of being absent, they would have sent out a letter, a certified letter, the three-day letter. And then if they wouldn't have heard back from that, then in 5 days, they'd send out a letter. Now, when people get these letters, all you have to do is call your place of employment and tell them, I'm alive. Yes, I'm planning on coming back to work. This is the situation. Whatever it is, you've made contact, so they can't terminate you under that clause under the attendance program, because you've gotten a three and a five-day letter. So they probably didn't do that. Because, like I said, she was released for health and safety reasons. So with that line of questioning being resolved, what you need to do is she needs to make sure she keeps all of her copies of her testing, the information of positive and negative. And that should verify all this stuff. And that's going to put somebody in a hard spot, because I think she was wrongly terminated. And I'd like to know what the grievance was that they wrote. I hope it was just a blanket, you know, wrongful termination and blah, 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 and sign here.
Find that out.
Right.
Later on tonight.
Right.
And I can check back next week with you guys.
Right. Right now, I know the area where she's at. We're going to leave that out for right now. Maybe next Sunday we'll disclose a little more of that information.
Yeah.
Because in that area, it's one of two locals. So we'll see what happens. And like I said, we'll definitely would like you to call back again next week, Dwayne, and give us some more information if you can. Hopefully she's back to work.
I hope so, because like I say, I'm trying to get her to do some other things, but she's kind of hesitant. She's kind of almost trying to keep just rely on solely on the union only. And I told her, you just can't do that.
Not in today's world. Tell her paper path. Keep a paper path. You're talking to a guy that spent 9 years, 2 months out, and I had 22 years at the time they boosted my ass out. So keep a paper path.
Yep, I told her to. I told her to start writing everything down, document everything down. So when they call you in the meeting,
tell her, get that grievance number. If she can't get a copy, at least get that grievance number.
Yeah.
That'll tell you a lot, because once that grievance is written, automatically it should fire right downtown Detroit to GM. That they can't stop that. But if they hold it in the plant, it's never been written.
Okay.
But we
I'll
know
find that out.
That from the time a grievance has been written under what we now know, that grievance has to be completely finished up within a year. We know that now, that a grievance has, from the time a grievance is written, it gets to stay at the plant for so long, and go to a step and a half, and go to second step, and go to fourth step. I mean, there's steps that it goes through. But at each step, it can only sit there for so long. And second step, that's plant management and the chairman. And then there's a second step and a half, which the servicing rep for that regional, for that plant, will come in and set with the chairman and management. Usually it's the plant manager and the personnel director. And if they can't get that resolved, then it goes to the region. And from region, it goes to Solidarity House, the servicing rep there.
I understand.
Yeah, like I said, there's things that you could do, see how you have a little more time on your hands. Definitely have your daughter sit down and write down the whole scenario. Or what date, who it was she talked to, who was in the room. I mean, this is going to be like a dragnet style, old fashioned police report. You got to, anybody's around, the dates, the times, what was said, who said. He said, she said, she said, he said. All that stuff has to go down. Keep all the information for the test, for the COVID test and the results of that, and that'll be time stamped. That all has to go all together with all this. That's only going to help her.
Right.
But in the meantime, like I said, you could try to get a hold of the chairman at that plant. You could also try to get a hold of the servicing rep from regional for that plant. And if they're not getting back with you, then by all means, find out who the servicing rep is for that plant down at Solidarity House and call them.
Yeah, I've gotten in touch with a few people, you know, by me working there 43 plus years. I know a few people that's in the local that's going to, you know, just trying to help me out, you know, but they can only do so much.
Right. And you got a little more time on your hands.
Yeah.
You could badger these guys and I'm not going to say badger. You can call and politely ask them some questions.
Yeah, I've done that, and, you know, just wait. In the meantime, I'm you know, exploring other avenues, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I want you to keep in mind, when I talk about the EEOC and NLRB, you only have 180 days.
Yeah, I'll be on that tomorrow.
Okay, you have to file with them within that time.
Yeah. I'll be contacting them tomorrow.
Make sure you know the answers to some of those questions, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Grievance and things like that.
I got to get that grievance number from her and everything.
Yeah, just like a good lawyer, you should almost know the answer to the question before you ask the question. There's a lot to do. And on your part, as you talk to people, write down the time, the date, and who you talk to. That doesn't
Correct.
Hurt. That doesn't hurt either. Just to document all this stuff. It's disheartening to think that.
I got my local state representative working on it too. They're trying to explore some avenues for me too. So,
well, from what I understand, I go into the plant. You know, we go into the plant, General Motors, and there are questions. You need to either answer yes or no to these questions. If you answer yes to any of the questions, they're going to pull you aside. You're not going to be able to go. You're not going to be allowed to go into the plant.
Right.
They're going to write some stuff down. They're going to put a piece of paper. They're going to sign that. You then have to drive around to the plant medical, and then they will make the call from there. Okay? Now, if, you know, for some reason or another, you've been around COVID and you tell them that you've been around COVID and that you're going to be tested, this number is very, very small. And all the facilities, the people that I talk to, the network that have people that we have through this show, is that very few people actually get this in the plant. Because, see, if you get this at the plant, they have to pay you for your whole time while you're out. If you get it while you're out, then they will get you onto sick leave disability, which means you get paid nothing your first week, and you'll get paid 60% of your pay. The second week, you'll be done. You're coming back to work.
That's like
medical cleared.
Nobody ever died either.
Apparently, the person that she said that she contacted from came to work with COVID, and management knew about it. And you know, they sent her home. You know, she told them that she had COVID, but they sent her home.
Right.
And the lady, well, the person that they sent home, my daughter, had a locker right next to her.
Oh, geez.
You better start documenting this, because this is going to be really, really interesting on the way that one's going to play out, because, you got double indemnity.
Yep. And the girl that they got sent home, she didn't get any time off, and she's still working. And my daughter got the boot.
Yeah, right up. Write this person's name down. Make sure you remember the date, everything. Write everything you can think of down.
I mean, for future reference, and I'm putting this out there in the air for everybody, you need to keep a journal every day. I did. I kept a journal every day. Even if I put under that journal, nothing today. I wrote something every day. That's
right.
The good thing about these cell phones that we have now. They have a memo or
yeah.
note-taking under
yep.
them, and you can, every day you can take notes. I'm still trying to delete some of my notes today, and I've been retired for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
But before, you know, the cell phones and the note-taking, I have actual journal books that I wrote. So, because I found out early in my employment with Forge that they weren't trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept notes every day. And the management knew I kept notes. They were so afraid of me because they said, "She keeps meticulous notes on you." That's right, I sure do. Because I'm going to protect me. And,
yeah.
yes, you write down every witness, every person that was in the area when anything happened. Or even if it doesn't happen, these people were here, nothing happened today.
Right.
But
yeah.
she's got to go through and do journalize everything from the point of going to work that day and saying that she was going to go get tested or however that went down. She's got to journalize all of that.
Right.
I'll say, honestly, Adrian, it's kind of shameful. But what I tell people anymore, if they are proactive at our union, if you're an activist in any way, you should probably wear a body cam to document your whole day.
Probably.
Beyond notes. I hate to say that. I hate to go to that level. It depends
yeah.
on what state you live in where you can do that. But
that's
the truth.
That is true.
It's a shame. It's a shame, actually, that you even have to contemplate that. And I know that's extreme.
Right.
Yes,
but
it is. But you've got to protect yourself.
If you are a union activist in any way, shape, or form, document your day the best you can. Beyond notes, if you can. That's it.
Let me Carrie, I'm going to put you on right now. Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. I have a question for the gentleman. Now, if she was, did she have to get paid when she was off? And if she did get paid, was she on one of the, like, I know at Forge we have Unicare, that's our disability company, that when we go on medical, we use them. Now, was she, I don't know about GM, don't they have one of those?
I don't know. I don't know if she was
Cedric.
Getting paid or not. I'm going to have to, I'll find out. Once I hang up, I'm going to be calling her and get some more information as far as, I believe she was on sick leave because you don't get paid till after the 8th day, if I remember.
After this, yep, on the 8th day, you qualify to get paid. So,
correct.
I mean, if she went, because, I mean, that's paperwork that you have to get filled out by a doctor.
Right.
From that disability company, or at least that's how it works at Ford's. But what I can't understand is, because, see, I'm kind of in a similar situation with a friend of mine, but it's not a COVID case.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to help her fight to get her job back for medical discrimination. So, I feel for you. I do. But don't trust the union. I mean, as much as I want to tell you that... The only reason why I'm telling you this is because I was very sadly disappointed in how they handled her grievance. Like, I couldn't even believe this happened to somebody.
Well, yeah, that's the reason why, you know, I'm not standing by and just solely relying on the union.
Have
because
a backup plan.
I say they could write that grievance. That grievance could still be in the committee office right there inside the plant. You know.
Mhm. This girl's grievance that they didn't even write a grievance for her after she requested it. I can't get too deep into it, but for 2.5 years she called. They stopped answering her calls. It was all night. I mean, they wouldn't even answer her calls.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They kept that grievance at stage two. So the plant chairman kept trying to tell her, oh, I'm fighting to get, you'll be back after Christmas. You'll be back after, what's the next holiday, Valentine's Day. I mean, he just kept rolling that a lot.
Well, did she
know?
Go in the other avenues? Or did she just solely rely on the union?
She was relying on the union at first because they kept telling her, oh, you're going to get your job back and don't worry about it and this, that, and the other. They kind of, you know, were giving her the snowball effect.
They were just telling her what she wanted to hear.
Exactly.
You're gonna get your job back.
Exactly.
In the meantime, you know, like you said, she's been out, what, 2 years or whatever? No health care.
They stopped. No health care.
After 30 days, you lose your health care.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get fired, I believe, you can't collect unemployment until 6 weeks. I don't know if that law's changed or anything.
13-week penalty.
Okay. Yeah. And
you're doing the right thing by not depending on the and I'm not trying to scare you, but you're smart because you know. I can tell by hearing you talk. But I couldn't believe what happened over here where I'm at. The way they mishandled it, and then it's almost like they had to, because she was at a point like, you got to get your agents, right? Get your hands on that grievance, because nobody in that union office could allegedly, supposedly find her grievance. And it was supposed to have been wrote by a bargainer that the day she got fired, she walked across to the union office and they talked to the guy in the union office. There was three of them in there, and the bargainer was supposed to write her grievance. Lo and behold, she never got one wrote. And then they tried to act like they, oh, well, we got a grievance. Yeah, we're working on it. They wouldn't even give her a copy of her grievance, probably because the damn thing didn't exist.
Well, aren't they supposed to give you a copy of the grievance once they write it that same particular day? Or do they get back with you? They can take a couple days to get back with you on that, too, I believe.
And more
don't
want to give you a copy of your grievance. That's why they're probably going to tell her, and that's why I said tell her to at least get the number.
Yeah.
Sure. You got a copy of it. You should never, one thing you never do, never sign a blank grievance, ever.
Correct.
Listen to
no.
me. A blank grievance is worse than anything else because then they can put words in your mouth. Think about that.
Right. Right.
But, I mean, I'm not trying to make you paranoid, but when you were talking, I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening to another person. I couldn't believe what happened to her.
Brother, I put on my Facebook page, it's called We the Workers under Facebook, and I put an international UAW appeals manual on there with a guy's name, his website, and everything. You will get some breakdown cold language from Ellis Bowles. Trust me, the man's good. He's an elderly man. And this handbook he's got online gives you many scenarios and avenues as we have talked to you about. It'll explain the EEOC. It'll explain all those processes for you. If you look at that, it is on that webpage. I just put it up.
Okay.
That's the Facebook page, We the Workers, right, Jim?
Yeah.
We the Workers?
Yep, We the Workers.
And also, every phone call, the best thing you can do, every time you make a phone call, you time and date it. You send a lot of emails and also send a lot of texts because that right there has helped that girl out so much because they wouldn't even answer her calls.
Right.
And that when she sent that all to the NRLB, they said you didn't even get your due process. Yeah, because nobody called her back.
Carrie, that's the game they play with us in the Constitution. The way they got that language set up on the GM side, if I send a letter to them and ask them a question, and before they send a letter back to me, say I send another letter, they don't have to answer the first letter. I'm not saying it's right.
Yeah,
and I think also, it's a bunch of bullshit.
I think also, like, when she finally did get a copy of that grievance, the person that was supposed to write it was actually the chairman. The plant chairman's name was on it.
Playing grievance for them to do that?
What'd you say? I'm coming in and out. I might.
For them to do that. How the hell did her name get a grievance name there? Did they write it up and bring it to her after the fact?
No, because you know what? I'm thinking about seeing the grievance that she finally got her hands on, and now I got some discrepancies there.
Hold on, we got somebody that's got two systems on. Somebody's listening through their computer or something.
Wait, that might be me. I had my car on and I got my Bluetooth on.
Oh, okay.
Is it better?
Yeah.
I clicked her off. I can't say a whole lot because she's actually supposed to be getting a hearing next month. But it's just make sure that you stay on top of this because it can turn into a holy nightmare at the local level. And then they want to play fiddly-doo-da, down at the regional. Like, they almost don't want to give it to the regional. But
well,
they've held on to it for so long.
Get a phone call from anybody on the staff. I should have already brought her to our done some type of virtual phone call with her to kind of get her ready for questioning. They should have done a lot of that shit already by now.
Last I heard, the attorney called her. Are you talking to me? The attorney had called her and said, well, they're still working on it through the plant. And then the plant chairman, the new one that got elected, tried to talk to management to get her in and get it resolved, although the NRLB already has a complaint. But now it's above this chairman now that just got elected. It's above his head to his boss's level. But this has been going on. It's been past 2.5 years. It's almost going on 3 right now. But they sat on that, our old plant chairman sat on that grievance for over 2 years. It stayed at the same stage. It never went nowhere.
That's
or if
crazy.
It was a grievance, I think they thought she was just going to give up and not say nothing and not pursue it. And then when they figured out, she's serious. That's when they came up with some kooky, cornball, weird-dated. It wasn't even a weird-dated grievance. It was weird. Wrote by the plant chairman.
We're not trying to scare you on this whole thing. We're just sharing a horror story from somebody else. You just got to stay on top of this thing.
Yeah, stay on top of it because I would never want to see that happen to somebody else, especially... You know, that right there, I couldn't believe it myself.
Well, in my case, I'm going to be exploring all avenues. We're not just going to sit back and wait for the the junior to say, oh, we're handle it. Oh, you got a 95% chance of getting your job back. Well, we're going to make sure that all my avenues have been exhausted before, you know, at least I can say as a father, I did everything I could do to get my daughter back, her health care benefits, along with my granddaughter. So,
yeah,
I feel that it was unjust. If anything, she should have got a balance of a shift in the day if there was some kind of misunderstanding or something like that. But to just total out fire somebody right off the bat after a virus that just came into our country from China, it's just not right. So we'll see what the union can do.
Make sure you get the answers from her. Make sure you get all the answers from her.
Yeah. Once I get done, I'll be calling her, asking her, did she sign a grievance? Does she have a number? You know, some of the things I just learned, you know, from this show today.
Yeah, and did she get a 3-day letter or a 5-day letter? And if she did she respond? And if she didn't, she didn't.
Well, obviously, with her going back to work after.
Oh, I know. It doesn't make any good
first
sense.
First, it was 14 days quarantined. Then the governor cut it back, I believe, to 10 days. So, but after, like I said, after she came back, you know.
Yeah.
If it was an issue, you should have been fired. They shouldn't even let her back in the plant, to me.
Absolutely. Right. They should have called her.
Why let somebody work 2 to 3 weeks
as soon as
and then all of a sudden pull them in the office and say, hey, you're terminated?
Once the medical signed off on it and she had to take the slip up to the supervisor, he should have said, wait in my office. And I'm going to call your committee man. And then go down to the front and do it all down there. But not after 3 weeks. That doesn't make any sense.
But the same thing, Don, the same thing happened to my friend.
Damn.
They let her clear through medical. They released her from, she went down and cleared through medical, went up to labor to turn her paperwork in, and that's
right.
When they told her she was fired. And then they didn't send her any quit notice at all. At all. Period.
Because
I asked her, did you ever get a 5-day quit? Did you get a phone call? She said, absolutely not. And then I said, request your personnel file. See if they won't let you have your personnel file. I thought, this is a shot in the dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she writes a letter with her name on it, date, time, that sends it certified mail to labor, and they've never responded to her.
Wow.
The union should have been able to go up there and get her paperwork and make copies of that.
But she can't even get in a turnstile.
You can get your personnel file. You request it, they have to give it to you. They can charge you for it, but they have to give you that.
Well, they did not respond to her. They did not respond to her. I seen the paperwork and I seen the receipt of certified mail.
I don't know what's going on over there in the truck plant. And so I don't want to really speak on that. But I know I've never had a problem getting my personnel file nor my medical records by requesting. Didn't even send it certified mail. Went right there. Labor Relations has a form that you fill out. Request your personnel files. Medical has a form that you fill out and request your medical records.
She can't even get in the turnstile to get there.
Did she go to the human resource manager?
She's called everybody.
Above labor relations in all the buildings. In each building, they have a human resource manager.
Because I couldn't figure out if you're going to release somebody down in medical, how do you take your paperwork up and then they tell you you're fired?
Well, I did skip a skip. It goes from medical to labor, and then labor signs off on it. Then you go up to the supervisor. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. This is all new stuff to me. 3 weeks after, and happened to somebody else at Ford. That just makes no sense to me. Misty, you're on with us too.
Yeah, I am here, and I got something to say.
Go ahead, Missy.
You know?
Oh, boy.
And I ain't trying to offend anybody.
No, go ahead.
But when I get on the show, and I don't press one, but I'm just listening, not saying a word, and it comes across extremely condescending to me, in my opinion, when basically people less than 10 years are newbies and we don't care.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not newbies. I ain't a newbie.
And I've been fighting every day since I've been in there. And I joined the union. And I fight every day with the union because I'm home taking care of Bob that's got cancer.
Yes, you are.
And when I hear that, a newbie, that's a personal attack on me and every other union member that's got less than 10 years, and our ass is out there fucking fighting every fucking day with the union and voicing our concern and our opinion and going to the union meeting and voicing our concern.
That's right. I agree.
Excuse me. Yes, I'm the one that said that. And I didn't mean any harm to anyone. I was talking about
it's not what
something.
You said.
It's
not
I was talking
what you
about
said.
Something
it was
that
how
I had posted.
You said
excuse
it.
Me. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
I gave
me.
You a chance, Missy, and I didn't say anything.
Hold
please
on.
Please let me speak, and then I'll let you speak. I was referring to something that was posted that some people have read, and we were having a conversation about retirees, and we had tier people coming on, or tier members, and they were telling the retirees to lay on the couch, that they don't have a say. They shouldn't be able to vote. That is what that was about.
Retirees have a say, and I've brought it up in our union meeting on more than one occasion that all retirees should be allowed to vote on anything and everything, whether it pertains to the contract or anything else.
Well, listen, this is how this started, though. I was proven how the union has put the tiers in there, and this is a classic example. What are we doing? We're fighting against each other. We don't need no goddamn tiers. Put everybody on one pay scale. Give everybody a pension. Give everybody the same. Now let's go after management. And that's where we were at. And then they told me to sit on the fucking couch. End of story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow.
We have done nothing but try to help. Give advice when we can. But when we get attacked like that, and we're getting attacked quite a bit.
That's kind of how I felt.
I don't know.
I took it as a personal attack.
No,
I'm sure a lot of other people out there that are listening to the show took it as a personal attack as well.
If you're not doing anything to help the situation, Melissa,
I know you, Melissa, well enough, and we all know you well enough. Don't even fit in that category, woman. So don't even fucking think, please.
We're talking about those people that are attacking and they do nothing. They sit back. They do absolutely nothing. And it's a lot of them out there. We're not trying to attack really anybody, because anybody could ask us questions. Don't come at us like, you know, it's your fault because we're in this situation. We hear this all the time. And quite frankly, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm a little tired of it. Because just as Jim has stated, Don probably too, and Scott, most of the time vote no on contracts. But they want to lump us all in one little segment. And it's being done to keep the division going.
I respectfully understand that, and I hear you. But when you use the word newbie, you lumped all of us up in that category.
Well, I'm sorry you felt
and
that
way. And I took offense to that.
Please accept my apology if you felt that way.
Thank you.
It wasn't intended for you to feel that way. But I tell you what, I can't do. I can step back, and I'll just be a listener. Thank you.
So we've lost Adrian for the rest of the night, maybe.
I'm still here. I'm just listening.
All right. Back in the day, as disrespectful as it may sound, I remember being called not only a newbie, a greenhorn, a rookie, from the guys ahead, what I called Maggie years back in the day. So, Don can tell you and Jim can tell you, anybody's got a lot of time. Times have changed, and I agree, we're all one. And, it's a hard play. To go at, and I understand where you're at too, because nobody wants to be called or referred to somebody that's. But you're not the normal person either. I've seen some part-time temporaries and some full-time temporaries that they don't care and they act like they've got 30 years. And I've seen some people who are tier two in progression fight like somebody's got 45 years too. So, but all right. Anyway,
the company's making enough damn money, and there's so few of us anymore. In fact, we lost 140,000 more jobs in December alone, I believe was the figure. And look at the profits they're making off these quarterly dividends. I mean, you can't keep shitting on the people that are paying your bills and making your gravy at the same time.
That's right.
Victor said it best almost 20 years ago. He said that we are the backbone of the corporations. It's shame on the UAW for letting them treat us in any other way than that. The backbone of the corporations. So, real quick, I forgot the gentleman's name that called in.
You're still here.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, real quick. So, before we get off topic again, real quick, make sure you understand. Document everything. Everybody you talk to, everybody your daughter talks to, she needs to sit down and document everything. Document all this stuff.
About documentation with writing. I mean, you can go to a local store and buy a tape recorder and start recording the conversation.
That's not admissible in court unless you tell them up front that you're recording them.
Them up front. For quality assurance purposes, this call may be monitored or recorded. Turn the game around on them. And absolutely.
That's a good one. Another game
that's
you can play.
They use.
You can fax stuff. A lot of you like to email stuff nowadays because that's considered legal too. I used to fax stuff. That way it's time stamped and somebody had to answer, that fax. I put a cover sheet on that and I'd just let them rip. So, that's one way, or email is another way.
I didn't want to scare the guy, but I also hope that they can
I don't know what his local is like, and I just want to tell him that I've seen some things that I never thought I would see, and I was scared for him. I was, you know, that's scary. So, I mean, I'm sorry if I came across scared, but I'm telling you what I've seen with my own two eyes with that poor girl.
Well, I don't want nobody to go through that. Both of those locals in that vicinity, both of those locals over there, they can be dicey at times. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Right.
I've known people who worked at both those locals. It can be dicey at times. So mm-hmm. you're doing the right thing, trying to help your daughter out.
Right.
You know, and she's got to help you, help herself too. And
right.
get all this information. It's imperative because it sounds like she was following the protocol in which the employer had laid out. And then they will wait till she comes back to work, and then 3 weeks later they fire her for it. The other thing, when they put her on notice, management has 3 days to act upon that notice. They either have to come back and tell you you're still on notice or something. They can prolong it. They can only do that for so long, too. You know, you can't work under being on notice forever. That's baloney.
Yeah. Apparently she was, so, but I don't have all the intimate details, but I'm going to try to get some more info tonight once I hang up. You know,
right.
Especially about the grievance, making sure she didn't sign a blank grievance, you know, and did she get a copy of it? So that's going to be my very first question.
Are you
right.
on
normally?
Page? I put that information on your webpage as well, Scott, for Ellis Bowles. For that handbook.
Okay.
That thing will help me out, brother. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah, that's it. Workers, workplaces, and unions that he's referring to. But what was the thing I was going to think of? I just lost it. Your daughter. Grievance. Very seldom do you get a copy of your grievance. I have pressed at times in the past where they have made a carbon copy. You know, they've copied off my grievance on a copy paper, you know, copy machine, and give me the piece of paper with my grievance. That grievance is your grievance, but it's his tool to use against management. The union gets one copy, the other copy goes to management. So, copy.
If that's the case, then he could told her that we wrote a grievance, and if you don't get a copy, in all actuality, she might not even have a grievance.
She'll remember whether she signed that grievance or not.
Right. That's what I said. You got to get a grievance number, and she had to sign that grievance. That can't be a policy grievance for that type of violation.
And with what Adrian said earlier, in today's technology with the phone, just take it out and take a picture of it. My grievance. I'm not taking a photo. Inside the plant anywhere. I'm down in labor relations. I'm about to be discharged. I'm going to take a picture of this grievance. It's my grievance. I want to get a copy of it. You don't run me off a copy? That's fine. I'll take a picture of it. There, I have it.
Did she get
don't
a 76A? Another question I have, did she get a 76A interview?
I'm probably say no because the person that was representing her, he just got elected. So
she had a 76A interview before the discharge, then she has a very grievable issue right there alone, and she has also a possible duty of fair representation violation there. You need to get all your facts and come back and let us know. And like I said, in that handbook I just put out there for you, you'll see where all this is labeled. You'll find it down there under wrongful discharge, I think is where she's going to be categorized, because I can't see where they can even think about firing her over this COVID bullshit unless she didn't call back possibly and tell them, hey, I tested positive. I got to stay out for 14 days or whatever. That could be a monkey I don't know about.
Yeah, I don't know that that, you know, I got to get some more intimate details, you know, on that. So,
but a lot of they've set up, I don't know if your plant, her plant is like this, but say if you call in, because I don't know if she called in the next day or whatever, after she got her COVID test or whatever, or whatever. I know at my plant, they set up, when you call in now, they have a list of if it's a personal, if it's illness, if it's COVID, they set that, they just set that up. So see if she called in and pressed COVID too, if she did call in. Because, you know, that's another thing that I just thought about.
Yeah, if you call in, they give you a call-in number that your call has been successfully logged. Make sure that number was written down and saved somewhere. It's going to be an exercise to go through what you're going through, and hopefully everything comes out just fine. But I'm thinking, hoping that there's been a mistake somewhere along the way, and that it washes out okay. But it sounds like you have to talk to your daughter, and maybe
an unintentional mistake, you know?
Yeah, maybe it's a lunch and sit down and have coffee with the daughter and, you know, go through all this stuff. And, you know, he was given a lot of information. I hope he wrote a lot of this down, because there's a lot of different avenues to follow up on this.
Yep.
But that's why I started listening to this show. You know what? They're going to give you some tools that I wish I knew back when I had started this whole thing with my friend. That's why I started listening, and I learn every day, every Sunday, I learn something else, another avenue to go down. So you're in the right place for information with these people.
Nobody knows that quite, Harry, but 15 minds are better than one, and as long as we work as one we're going to kick thing in the ass, people.
And not only that, learning to read your contract book, and knowledge is power, knowing what's in that contract book front and back, back and front, inside and out, is power to use against them.
Because when I got
agreements and I got kicked out for a week and I proved that I called in and I had documentation, they still kicked me out. And I fought my committee men head to head with his bullshit. And I won my grievance, and everybody told me I wasn't going to win. That's because I pulled out the contract book. I said, it's here, black and white, sweetheart. And I can read. And I know more than you think I know. So knowledge is power. People need to start reading this contract book, and they need to start memorizing it, whether it's highlighting, putting little sticker notes in there, everything.
Right.
And you need to carry it with you at all times. And your local as well.
I know
Adrian said the smartest thing about carrying a journal. There ain't nobody down there to help you, and they ain't going to help you out. You got to remember, they're there for the company. They're going to buffer the company. You got to understand that. It ain't the union that you used to work for. I hate to tell you that. But yeah,
right.
They told me
right.
I had to be ready for this because, like I said, there's a lot.
When I made a call
to the Solidarity House, the secretary wouldn't even let me talk to anybody. She said everything had to be exhausted inside the plant first.
No.
What I put through those steps, but at least I could have talked to somebody.
Yeah, you need to find out who the servicing rep is for that facility.
Yeah, you
got
to go to the region. He's in Lansing, so he's got to be over here in Flint for this. We got that would be region D. Unfortunately, I believe, right?
1D.
Yeah. So you're gonna come over here. You're gonna be looking for what's his name? Steve Dawes, I guess, would be the one I would ask for, or the servicing rep, if you know his name. If not, Steven can tell you who the hell is that servicing rep. Don't, in my humble opinion, let me word it this way, Don't trust him any farther than you can throw his ass. Might I tell you, he's about as big as me.
Well, I know a few other people that's trying to help me out, so, and I got confidence in them, so hopefully, you know, they're going to, you know, be able to lead us down the right path. But we'll see what happens. It'll be an interesting week coming up this coming week, because I'll be, like I say, I got some more places. I got a call I got from you guys tonight, so we'll see what happens. Supposedly, the union is supposed to be getting back with her Monday and seeing where they're at. But,
well, hopefully,
again, like I stated earlier, you just can't sit on your pants and just wait for the union.
That's right. Adrian gave you a list of people or places to call. And, but make sure when you call these folks that you know the answers to the questions they're going to ask.
Well, try to sit up. Try to sit in on that conversation and take notes, because you having all of your experience and time in, that is crucial. Like, two brains are better than one, or 15, or whatever.
Right. Yeah, put it on a big phone, and both of you take notes.
Yeah, because you're going to know if they're trying to give her the runaround.
Oh, I believe they already are. At least that person that was represented her when she came in into that meeting. And she told me all he did was ask her what was her name or how to spell her name. I mean, come on. All the paperwork's right there in front of you. That tells me right there what kind of a representation is that.
Not much.
He was just trying to make his presence known. That's all he was doing, showboating.
Right. Damn. Just never heard of something like this. Scott, that's when you would jump in when you get here.
Hey, okay, real quick. I got some things I want to throw in here before we wind the show down. Are we going to 8:30? We're going to 8:30, so I better hurry. This last week, it was announced, you're going to love this one. Don, I know you're sitting down. I hope the rest of you guys are sitting down. GM is set to produce a Honda-branded electric and an Acura-branded electric crossover in Mexico and in Tennessee starting in 2023. Wow. That's something. We'll talk about that next week.
What was that name again?
General Motors is set to produce a Honda-branded electric vehicle. Honda's going to make an electric vehicle, and Acura, which is their top-shelf brand, they're going to make them in Mexico and in Tennessee starting in 2023.
Wow, Springfield.
So,
Honda?
Honda and General Motors have gotten into partnership. General Motors is going to produce some electric vehicles for Honda and Acura in Mexico and in Tennessee in 2023. Also, this last week, Adrian's posted some stuff. Other people, I've seen it from other people on Facebook, that there's been a shortage of semiconductor chips. There's a shortage of them. And now General Motors is concerned over it. That's going to shut their business down. It set some people home at a Ford plant. Another person was sent, some people sent home at a Ford plant because there was some tensions, I believe, between the moving company there that moves the vehicles. They were having a strike, I believe. Also, if nobody's seen, GM's going to unveil their new logo. And it's going to shift it to electric for the new shift to electric vehicles. Instead of a capital G and a capital M, it's a lowercase G and a lower M and a kind of a powder blue or whatever, and it looks, in my opinion, horrendous.
Lowercase.
Yes, lowercase. And Google's new union is in a historic moment for labor. That's good news. They're working on this. It's a minority union. It's called the AWU, stands for Alphabet Workers Union. And they're picking up steam. And also real quick, Stellantis, the merger is closed on January 16th after PSA and FCA shareholders approve. And the great-grandson or the grandson of, I believe, Chrysler is not happy with how this merger's playing out. So that's all I got real quick before we end the show.
Well, you move kind of quick when you're under pressure, Scotty.
Yeah. I've got a hot riddle.
This is Adrian. I also want to remind everyone that if they will not write you a grievance, you can write your own grievance.
Yes.
Then you have your copy.
Yes.
Who do
you
turn that into?
I forgot all about that.
You could take your grievance, and I would recommend that you send it certified mail to your unit chair, your local president, your regent director, and your UAW president.
How about labor
relations first, and then
forgot about labor relations. You have to also send it to labor.
Yeah,
go to labor
first. Send it to labor.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate all the information tonight.
All right, you're more welcome. No problem. Hopefully we'll hear back from you next Sunday, too.
Yeah, call us with any progress, hopefully. Hopefully there will be a lot of progress.
I'm hoping so.
I hope so, too.
Prayers.
Yeah.
Yes. Like I said, hopefully there's some movement here and things get worked out real quick. That's what we're hoping. But other than that, I think we're probably done for this week. And we'll be back at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time next Sunday. Right, Doc?
Right on.
Yeah. We'll be here, and I'll put it down for 2 hours next week just in case, conversation needs to go farther.
Right.
All right.
Well, good night, Adrian and Jim and
good night,
new caller and
Missy,
Melissa and
good
Carrie.
Good luck.
Carrie.
Yeah.
All right, have
y'all
a good one, guys.
Yeah.
What's that? Somebody? Anybody?
What's that?
I thought I heard somebody.
All right.
All right.
Wayne, we'll hopefully here for next week.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.